720. WGN, it's Dane in for Nick D. Maybe two more nights. We are monitoring the situation as we are in support of Better and Drier Roofs International, that great charity that you know and love. Nick is doing absolutely fine, and he will be with us in just a day or so. And so we're going to carry you through Valentine. This is Valentine's Day. I've got Dino Tiberi to my right. You know him as a longtime guest companion, spiritual advisor, leader of the Dino movement, right? And when it comes to Harry Caray and that,
I guess you could call it that.
The worldwide toast to Harry. You're going to be a big participant in that, as you have been for the last, I guess, is it
20 years? Yeah,
so this is the 20th
year. Yep.
And you know what that means, don't you, is that it's been that long since we lost Harry. It's hard to believe. I mean time flies and some of those kind of milestones hit you, and
there's a whole generation who didn't even know who he was now.
And now they know him sort of as this kind larger of iconic caricature, right? You know, the scary statue that's out in front, kids. He looks a little crazed, right? Like,
well, when you need to lead the crowd, you have to be ready to go.
He's wielding the microphone.
All right. Yeah, of course. He's got to wield the microphone, get the fans into it.
Yes, as he often did, and the fans are going to be getting everybody into it around the world coming up on Thursday over at Harry Caray's on Kinsey. And it is, you know, and you've got the whole day. Dino, you're going to be there early in the morning. I know you'll be there kind of as the sun, even before the sunrise. A lot of those news crews get down there.
Easy transition tomorrow and right over there, and
for the morning broadcast. And at what point does the crowd kind of get into sort of a fever pitch? It does coincide with kind of the whole start of the season. So hope is springing eternal for the Cubs in general.
Right. Pitcher and catcher reporting yesterday, and before you know it, the rest of the squad will be there later on in the month, and this is kind of like a, like you say, a rite of passage. This is when, you know you're getting close to the baseball season when we have this toast, and because it's always usually in February or early March, and so the season's almost upon us.
Yeah, Harry would have it no other way. Of course, a man known to love baseball and love the fans. The fans loved him back. It's all about love. He loved a libation, right? And so the drinks, and it would, you know, it isn't just a toast. Sometimes you think, okay, let's pour everyone a glass of wine so we can do a toast. No, this is a full, I don't know if it's 24 hours, but it's many, many hours of
all
toasting.
And it's all over the world, so different time zone, different, everybody's going to be involved.
You think about a fan base that loves and supports their team. The Cub fans are there, and you know that. Today is just kind of the day to recognize love in general. We're going to do that on the program today. We've got a lot of texts and callers in that says, like, hey, let's talk some love. You know, we're at least an hour or two into Valentine's Day, and so here's the ways that everybody can kind of participate and add their two cents and more. Is, you know, even in just the world of music, and love can take on many forms, and it isn't always the big Cupid with the arrow and everyone's, you know, it's puppies
nice
and
box of chocolates.
Rainbows, and you know, sometimes, you know, love can hurt. You know, it can.
Love stinks, as Jay Giles once said.
Right, that would be maybe one of those all time songs. And I'm trying to think of the different categories it comes into. So you've got the moment or moments or extended moments. And if it goes over 4 hours, should I call your doctor, of love? And that's, so you got Barry White, you've got Luther Vandross, you've got those kind of things. Like, you're in the middle of it.
Sure.
We'll go into some of the channels that exist now as for music fans. Now with digital music, you're able to go ahead and find, you know, if you like
whatever you like.
If you like 90s grunge music, there's a channel just looping that stuff all day and all night. And so, but there's also kind of other categories, right? You've got that whole the breakup songs. You've got the, you know, like, hey, we're broke up but we're getting back together kind of songs, right? And then you've got the, we're broke up and I'm really still upset about it.
And I can't get over it. There's songs for all of that.
And I'm angry. Still, you know, all within that love category, but in that whole kind of, you know, ever-changing, you know, just like the butterfly, right? Starts out as a caterpillar, kind of gross, right? Then turns into a, like a cocoon, maybe grosser, and then who knows what's happening inside there, right?
And then it just blossoms. Comes out into a butterfly.
Into the beautiful butterfly. So 312-981-7200, your favorite love song of all time, the one that either takes you back or that you remember, even if you didn't understand. When I was a kid, you know, there was a lot of songs out there that maybe were love songs that we screwed the words up to. We weren't even sure what was going on. It was just a good song. It was popular. And then, so you can go ahead and share those. You can text them in. You can talk to Dan, is in the booth, Dan Segrew. And we're going to kind of put our own list together. We'll go through some of the normal lists. We'll play some of them as well. And you think about the songs, those love songs, if it's ones that you remember from the past, maybe it brings you back to the moment when you met that certain someone or one of the many certain someones throughout your life, or a significant other, or someone who was significant and is no longer significant.
Correct.
And one of the things that we'll do it on this program is kind of share that moment when, like, you first met your person. We've been talking over the last day or so the different ways that people can kind of get in on the love and dating scene. It has changed a lot. Dan has been to 7 of 10 recent weddings of friends that all started with online dating and relationships. And then you've got people that, you know, met the old-fashioned way, like in the
grocery store,
the church, car accident, lineup at a bar, right? You know, or the grocery store, right? People,
sure.
People make a big deal about that. I don't know if anyone's actually.
Has that ever happened? I don't have any documentation to support it or any evidence of it. So.
I think in the honest request for information, you can, you know, kind of notice that, like, hey, maybe this is going to be something wonderful. Or let's say you're in the produce aisle and you're wondering, how can you tell if a melon is ripe, right? Do you knock on it? Do you shake it? You know, what are those things? And then you have someone helpful there that seems to know their way around a grocery store, and they're like, oh, no, here's what you do. And then it's like, oh, well, that's a nice blouse. It really brings out your eyes, right? I don't know. I've never.
Somehow, I don't think that one works. Good try, though.
Or maybe you just bring a puppy along with you. You just borrow your friend's puppy.
Oh, he's so cute. How about going out with me next week?
He's so cute. Well, speaking of cute, what's your name? Cutie. You know, so I'm not sure how it all works. We can share some of those things. I'll share mine. You can share yours. You know, it's going to be one of those kind of collective love situations. Well, if you've got a fun story, sometimes those stories are so great. It's neat to think when some people would have relationships that are going on for 20, 30, 50 years, maybe. And then you think about the random way that the people met. It could have happened, in any way, or could have not happened at all. Right. And it did.
Yeah, well, you know, it's amazing how, you know, I'm sure some people are listeners, and some we'll get some evidence of somehow stories have come about.
Evidence, all right, Inspector. Let's get some evidence. I'm in the lineup.
You know, we'll see how it works out, but I don't know. I don't really have any great stories of my own. I'm going to have to vicariously live through yours.
I got one. So here's the thing. So, Dan, let's talk. In order to prime the pump a little bit, you know, you obviously and your beautiful beloved bride and the kids, and everything's worked out wonderfully, and there's just so much greatness. You know, this is a day when you can kick back, relax, and say Valentine's, you know, hey, you know, bring it on. This is pretty awesome. But you guys had to meet somewhere. Was it any of the ways that I suggested? Was it potentially in a grocery store? Were there any, you know, sworn officers of the law involved in any way? It's unlikely, but it could be. How did it happen?
So we initially met at a pub crawl.
That's a good one.
Yeah, a family friend to both of us, her best friend, and then is the daughter of my dad's best friend. So they have a big party up in Wisconsin every year at their house, and there's a couple houses. There's a couple bars in, like, Geneva on a strip, so we, you know, go to those bars. So I didn't really talk to her that night, but the following day, my brother had gone golfing with some of my dad's friends. He hit the golf ball into a hornet's nest.
When the animal kingdom,
four,
right, gets involved.
Yep. Always interesting. My brother is deathly allergic to bee stings. Wasp stings are not good either. So he had to go to the emergency room. Everything's fine. Everything worked out okay, thankfully. I was working this shift at that time. So my dad said, he's fine. Why don't you go home early in my car? We'll get a ride home. And then that way you can get a couple hours sleep before your shift tonight. So I was packing up my stuff, and Mrs. Barrett, who owns the house, she had said, oh, you know, Eileen was going to take the train home. Would you mind giving her a ride home?
Wow.
And there it is. Sure.
And that's a subsequent hour and a half ride home.
Exactly.
A couple hours in the car talking about the concern for loved ones, number one, and then the toxicity of an insect sting or bite. I think that's a recipe for love.
Lasted for about 5 minutes, and then he just turned on the charm. And
did you pop in the Luther Vandross?
Well, it was funny. She kept talking about a guy named Johnny, so I was just kind of like, oh, she's dating somebody. It turned out to be her brother. So
nice.
Then, you know, 3 or 4 days later, I got the Facebook friend request, and then a couple days after that.
We didn't have that. I didn't have that in my day, but me being a little older, we didn't have the Facebook requesting.
Well, you never know. It started out.
But that's how it starts.
You know, yeah. Hornet's nest, you know, a golfing trip, people up. Lake Geneva can be kind of a melting pot for the emotions up there because it's a town that, you know, is all about fun, right? There's right, a lot absolutely. Of cool stuff going absolutely. On. Yeah, so that was more than I had hoped for, Dan. So that was great. That's great. And then the rest is history, right?
The rest is history.
Wow. That's right.
See, you can have your
starts
own history.
Starts out just that innocently, yeah, and look out.
10 years ago, it was 10 years ago this year. It was 2008. So,
now how's your brother doing?
Good. All yeah, right, fine. Good. So, always carries his EpiPen. We're all good.
In the unlikely event that maybe he was overcome by the wasp stings and was still in a very stable and healthy coma or something, you guys
healthy coma.
Well, no, but you guys could have gotten together over the visits to the hospital or maybe remedies. I mean, who knows? It might have worked out anyway, right? Now, in your honest opinion, Dan, if that did not happen, if you guys weren't put together and realized you got along, some great conversations and all that, was she like a person you may have bumped into at other times?
There was a possibility because, you know, as I said, so her best friend was the daughter of my dad's best friend. So, like, her best friend is somebody I've known literally my entire life. We grew up together.
Gotcha.
So,
okay.
You know, there is a very real possibility that I would have gone to her graduation and, you know, seen Eileen at that graduation, things like that. But I don't know if it would have been the...
You hate to throw it to chance like that.
Right, right. Yeah, and you don't know. It wouldn't have been like, you know, that hour-long conversation was nice because you get to know people and obviously it's very friendly and you're kind of making the most of it because you have to make the most of it.
Right.
So.
And no pressure, right? It isn't one of those kind right. of situations. Like yeah, okay, that sounds awesome. All right, 312-981-7200. How did you meet your significant other? You can share your story. You can come on the radio. You can give a shout-out. Obviously, it's Valentine's Day. That would be great. Some extra points in there and kind of share those listeners that the listeners would love to hear. So it is Dane in for Nick until 5 a.m. today on Valentine's Day. Keep it here, 720 WGN. Oh, yeah. Feel the love. 720 WGN, it is Dane in for Nick D until 5 a.m. today. I have the red-wearing and always romantic Dino Tiberi to my right, Dancer Group, is in the booth. And one of the things that we're talking about today, it is Valentine's Day officially, and one of those great stories. I love the stories of kind of the kismet, right? The hit or miss, you know, some of the destiny, right? If you could put it in there, of how people met. And it doesn't always have to be one of those. Some are great. You know, it's been, hey, we've been married 50 years or 60 years and it's going great. And, you know, some of them is like, hey, we met and then they turned out to be a serial killer. Those are great stories too.
in their own way.
Quite a significant relationship. And that's kind of what we're looking for today. On the line with us, we do have from the 7-0, we got Patrick. Patrick, so you're going to share how you met your significant other. How did it go? Welcome to the show.
Well, it went fine. She didn't hand report to the serial killer me and leave me in a suitcase on the side of the road.
It's always cool.
But, yeah, I used to work at a nightclub. I used to work at one of Billy Deck's nightclubs in Chicago back in the 90s.
Nice.
And she used to come there a lot. Her sister worked coat check. I was a bar back. And I just walked up to her and I actually grabbed her and just started making out with her. Didn't waste any time. She didn't knock me on my butt. So
did you check your coat when you were done? You know,
we ended up, we started off a little bit as friends with benefits. And the next thing you know, we went on our first date. And on our first date, I ended up in the emergency room.
Oh, that's always a good one, though, Patrick, right? You can see how sympathetic they are to when you're in need.
She had the chance to get out alive. We were at a concert. I was in the mosh pit. I went down, busted my knee really good. Friends were went, said, told her, told her I was her boyfriend. She's like, he's not my boyfriend. But she came, got in the back of the ambulance, went to the hospital with me, and stayed with me. I ended up having to have knee surgery. She stayed with me the entire time.
Wow.
We were together for a year, and a year later, we got married. We've been married for almost 17 years this October.
Oh, wow. Holy cow.
That's awesome. Now, here's the thing, and I like that we got out, you know, because we got out to, you know, being kind of, you know what you want, you're going to go out there and get it, forceful, right to the point, right? It wasn't a long car ride of conversations, deciding if you're compatible. Patrick, you wanted to know right away if, you know, you could just grab her and start making out. And you did that, right? Everything kind of survived.
It's a gutsy move, Mav.
I don't know what it was. I just walked up to her, grabbed her. We just right there in the circus. I don't know if you remember Circus Nightclub. Yeah. That's where I used to work, and I just saw her over in the VIP section, walked up, grabbed her, just started making out, and she kissed me back, so okay.
Yeah. And then I
didn't get a left hook to the face, so.
And then you knew, too, when you did get a left hook later on, that she would be the type of person that would go to the hospital and kind of get you through those tough times. I think that's great. Thanks, Patrick. Thanks for sharing. That's awesome.
All right, hey, thanks for taking the call.
All right. Wow. So not everybody has that same story, you know, because you don't see that often. Maybe at Circus Nightclub, you'll see that, especially if you're working the door and someone, you know, or sister's at the coat check and that kind of stuff. Maybe there's a lot of stuff happening. Doesn't always happen in the grocery store situation.
That's right.
Right. There was no chance of that at that point, probably because you were driving, right?
Yeah.
10-2. You didn't have an opportunity to go ahead and do that. You never know.
No, that was another facet of that ride. He could impress her with his driving skills.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the thing. So Judy, welcome to WGN, and you've got a story of how you met your special someone.
Yes, he's very special. Sadly, he's in a nursing home right now. But we met in 1970, and I had to tell him something. And he kept saying, you got somebody else. I says, no, I have cerebral palsy on my right side. What time are we going out Thursday? I went, well, if it doesn't bother you, it doesn't bother me. We've been together 48 years.
Oh, wow. Oh, yeah. That's.
I have two sons and I have two granddaughters.
Two sons and two granddaughters. And so, yep. So how did it, you know, as far as you guys, what were you guys doing at the time as far as, you know, occupations and.
Well, he worked in broadcasting and I was an assistant manager for a clothing store.
Wow. Now, is this the kind of thing, if you wouldn't have met at the time that you did, do you think you would have ran into each other sometime in the future, or was this one of those kind of once-in-a-lifetime meetings?
Once-in-a-lifetime meeting, and he was the one from the day I saw him.
Wow. See, sometimes, you know what, I don't know what it is.
Exactly.
312-981-7200, but you just know, right? You know, you just have sort of a feeling that this is the person. All right, thanks, Judy. We appreciate you sharing.
Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, there we go. See, that's it. You know, I mean, it's the kind of thing where you just knew. Patrick knew. He obviously, well, I hope he knew. It wasn't
he took a shot and then it worked.
Hopefully Patrick didn't take that shot, you know, with like a lot of people and then one sticks. You know, one sticks really good.
What about you, Dane? Let's hear your story.
This is okay. So,
do we have time for that? We're going to get a news.
We're going to do it after that. We've got to take a break of news. People are lining up, too. We're going to be able to share your stories. This is a great opportunity to go ahead on WGN. Everybody's got a story. You can kind of give a shout-out to that certain special someone as well as we kind of just get ourselves into Valentine's Day. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN. It is Dane in for Nick D on Valentine's Day until 5. And I know that Dan is going to be playing some of the greatest love songs of all time as we run through that list. And maybe we'll ask, you know, your song, if you've got a special song as well, or maybe your favorite song. It doesn't have to be necessarily all about love, but yeah, it's going to be, right? So 312-981.
Valentine's Day, it has to be.
7200. If you have a story you want to share, we've had some great ones so far about how you met that certain someone. We'll share our stories as well. We've got Bob on the line. Bob, welcome to WGN.
Thanks for taking my call. This was all paid on its own. 3.5 years ago, I was in Tampa visiting my sister, and this performer I liked from Kansas City was doing a house concert in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So I told my sister, I got to get back to Wisconsin. I want to see this guy perform. He was posting on Facebook. I didn't know anyone who was having the house concert. I became friends with the guy having it. And I'm like, my name's Bob. I'm a big fan of Bob Walking Horse. You know, can I come to the concert? He's like, oh, yeah, sure. So I went to the concert. I sat in the back, and I saw this little short woman with short hair. And it's the exact opposite kind of woman that I am into. And I was a smitten kitten from the get-go, and I seen her walking around and stuff. And as it turned out, she was with the guy who hosted the concert.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I was, like, all bummed out. So, like, a week later, I tracked her down on Facebook off of this guy's Facebook page. And I figured it wouldn't hurt to ask. And I was just like, oh, my name's Bob. I was at the house concert. I was just wondering if you and Leon were an item. And she was like, oh, no, Leon's like a brother to me. I've known him for years and stuff. I was like, oh, okay, you know, would you like to go out? He's like, I guess. So we didn't make any plans. So at this point, she messaged Leon and was like, what about this Bob guy? What do you know about him?
Oh,
and he's like, I've never met him before. He became a friend because he wanted to go to the house concert. And she has that blind ambition. She said, Brian, we'll go out. And it went really slow, but now we're coming up on 4 years. We're engaged to get married.
Wow.
We haven't really set a date at all. But it was just so happenstance and by, you know, chance that we met that, yeah, something lined up perfect for us.
Yeah, you couldn't have planned on that. Now, Facebook has been a tool where you've been able to, a lot of people have been able to kind of either get together, reconnect, or kind of do a little recon on the relationship side and find people. But you know, you use the word smitten kitten. I like that. We're writing that down. And, but you never can tell, right? Like you said, this wouldn't have been someone that you would have necessarily thought of based on, hey, you know, she was short, had short hair, all that kind of, whatever.
It didn't fit the normal profile for Bob.
It wasn't normal for Bob. Now, do you guys have, and we're going to be sharing throughout the show, do you guys have a favorite song, or do you have a great song that you really like that reminds me of you and her, right, of you guys? Do you have a song you like?
Oh, yeah. And we've seen this performer 3 other times, and he has a song that's called Love Will Surf, what is it? Love Can Change, and it's about how he met his wife at a mall. She was working at a watch kiosk, and he just asked her out and stuff, and like years later, they're married. They got 2 kids, adult kids. They got 2 grandchildren. And at one of the house concerts, he was playing again. I emailed, Facebook messaged them, and I was like, Bob, can you do this song? But don't dedicate it to Jen because she hates any attention. So just say, you know, this song goes out to 2 people that met at a previous house concert and stuff. So when he started playing it, and she's sitting next to me, I started elbowing her, and she started crying, and it was pretty awesome.
See?
And we've seen him a couple of times after that together, and he's always like, how are you guys doing? Oh, it's great to see you and stuff. And I don't know if you've heard of the band The Rainmakers from the 80s from Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
It's the lead singer, Bob Walkerford. He goes out to people's houses and does these house concerts and everything, and that's pretty much got us together.
Congratulations on the 4 years and the love and the future and all that great stuff, and just fate, right, working in your favor. And kind of some of the listeners want to know, is Leon doing okay? Has he moved on? Is he okay with everything?
Oh, yeah, I'm good friends with him now. He knows who I am. I talk to him, and he's got a girlfriend, and we go out together every so often, and I always run into him at the house concerts and everything, and she's still really good friends with him, and no, I don't feel threatened at all. We're like all good friends and stuff, and he's sort of the reason we got together, so I'll always remember that.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, well, thank you, Bobby. Appreciate you sharing, and good luck to you guys. Happy Valentine's Day.
Thanks for taking my call.
All right, you bet. Wow, see, that's a great story. You never know you're going to get up
looking,
there.
Looking, and there it is.
I think a common theme that we've seen so far is that people that, you know, kind of got, they saw something that they wanted.
And they went after it.
Yeah, they were driven by the whole aura, the force of love just kind of motivated them to do, you know, and get
something
in.
Something crazy. And
make it work, and these things
broke through.
You know, things are working out. We want to give a shout out to Evan, too. He and his girlfriend are moving to Florida together, trying to avoid some of the, you know, I gotta tell you, Evan, right now, you and your girlfriend, it's gonna be unseasonably warm today, and so you're gonna have some second thoughts. Chicago's a great town, and hopefully you'll come back and visit, but you may get stuck, you know, maybe around Kankakee saying, let's just turn this thing around. This weather's all right.
I doubt it.
Well, good luck to you and your girlfriend moving to Florida. Hopefully you'll travel safe down there and enjoy some Florida stuff, and you're doing it on Valentine's Day, so congratulations with everybody on that. So that's great. 312-981-7200. You can share how it all started for you, and if you've got a favorite love song that you'd want to kind of share as well. Dino, there's some of those channels. You had a couple channels that were in mind. One of them was it Love Jams? And then there was also...
well, it's on Spotify. I can rattle off a couple for you here, Dane.
One of the other channels, if people are looking...
We've got the Valentine's Day Love, the Warm Fuzzy Feeling.
Nice.
Love Pop.
Love Baby Makers.
Make Out Jams.
Was there Make Out Jams?
Yeah, okay. The 90s Baby Maker songs.
I mean,
bedroom jams.
That's a lot of
silk sheets.
That's a lot of pressure. You know, because let's say
an acoustic love.
Let's say you are looking to, you know, expand and grow the family, and you know, you figure, hey, you know, you can get into a lot of different ways to support that. But you know, you've got the music, the ambiance. You got to set the mood. You got baby maker jams on, and then you want to make sure that you follow through on that.
You
right?
You got the mood set. You got everything ready to go.
A little bambino.
That's coming nine months later. All
coming
done.
Down the road. All right. So here's this. So you know this is a longtime Cub fan. It's something that we have in common as well. And so it ended up being, I think it was like, I can't remember, like 4th of July or something like that. And we actually had some tickets from, I think it might have been the Duke of Dollars, right, that had the tickets to the White Sox. And so, you know, we go to a lot of White Sox games. We're sports fans, love a lot of things like that. So me and a friend went to the White Sox game, and it was right around the time, I think, Taste of Chicago was going on. And so we got out of the Sox game and wanted to go, you know, have a couple beers, do something, whatever. But it was closed. Taste of Chicago was closed. So we ended up I don't know how we ended up wandering around, ended up at Mother's, and my friend Dave served as the wingman, and I ran into Esther at Mother's, of all places.
That's where you two met each other.
Yep, at Mother's, and she was working somewhere in the Lombard area, and the rest is history.
And that's where you're at now, beautiful, the Lilac Village.
Right, well, you know, we're not like Evan. We're not just going to, like, ditch the whole area.
That's it. We're out of here. We're going to Florida. It's a lot hotter there all the way around.
Yeah. So when we come back from the break, we're going to be able to talk a little bit about some of the traditions for Valentine's Day, the perfect date stuff. If anybody's got any suggestions on that as well, they can go ahead and suggest, you know, some of those, because it's tough, Dino, you know. What do you do? You know, our friend Joe Gentile would have probably said it was amateur night. You know, that's the kind of thing to get out there. But sometimes you feel a little pressure to turn up the heat a notch and get out there and enjoy, you know, kind of a one-on-one table situation with maybe a rose or a flower or a daisy or
sure
hornet's nest. You never know what
a bottle of champagne, you know,
what'll bring people together. 312-981-7200. A lot of great stories lining up. You can text them in. You can talk to Dan. You can call. We'll share it. You can give a shout out on the air. It's Dan and for Nick here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. It is Dane in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. Dino Tiberi to my right. Dan Segrew in the booth as well. And Dino, I had not known that you had those moves, but when, you know, the whole Temptations, Four Tops, you know, all the kind of synchronized
things.
I've
got sunshine on a cloudy day, Dane. That's all there is to it.
When it comes to music, that really kind of, and I think it is the kind of thing that that inspires so much. It's intangible, greater than the sum of the parts, the whole music thing, right? There's a power to it, right? You know, I mean, you think that it can kind of not only set the mood, but inspire and motivate.
Well, I think you know, certain songs can do that, and there's you know, different songs for different people, obviously, and we're hearing some of them from our listeners, and you know, call in and share it with us tonight. I don't know. I'm trying to think of a few that would have done that for me, but they're not coming to me at this point.
312-981-7200. We had a number of listeners, you know, sharing kind of that story. Everybody's got a story. The first time that you met that certain special someone, whether you're married 40, 50, 60, maybe, I don't know how old you got to be. It depends on what state, you know, you get married in. Can start a little earlier on the whole wedding thing, I think. And and then also, too, is the song that's kind of important to you. But the stories of how you met, you know, how you got together, and what I'm hearing is like the current theme of is being kind of, you know what you want, go out there and get it, you know,
aggressive.
I don't want to say aggressive sounds, you know.
Yeah, that's a little suggestive.
Like, although some of them have been aggressive, but be kind of firm, right?
Enthusiastic.
Yes, right. Enthusiastic. Go out there, get what you want, and oftentimes it will go ahead and last. And on the music side, we've got 25 love songs that you can listen on Spotify now too. Now, Dino, for your playlist, and you're you like music. You're an aficionado of so many different genres,
yeah,
of the musical arts. And are there things in your playlist that, you know, I don't know that I would consider you, I don't know if like romance defines you, but you probably got some kind of romantic songs that you may not even know of.
Yeah, I have a list of songs that I like to listen to, and you know, if that's you know, regarding romance and love and things. You know, like everybody has those
love and things.
You know, everybody has that now and then. So, I mean, I do have a list that I, a playlist I put together.
Well, because I know we talked the other day about, you know, like Cat Stevens.
Sure.
You know, I'm not sure.
That was my 70s list.
Yeah, right. Well, I wonder when, and people, you could share your thoughts as well on this. You could text me at 312-981-7200. There's some of the listeners contend that the greatest love songs of all time were written kind of in that 70s kind of era.
Yeah, the old one hit wonder specials there.
What do you mean, like Brandy is one?
Sure.
I mean, that's kind of one of those. All right, so here's 25, and I don't think they're in any particular order. In fact, I disagree with some of them, but only because I'm unfamiliar with them. But Can't Help Falling in Love, Elvis Presley, 1961. I think when the ladies hear that song, I think even ladies today, Elvis is one of those guys, you know, although he has left us a long time ago, you know, some people contend that he is in a he's working a dry cleaner in Michigan or something.
Yeah, Kalamazoo. He's Burger King.
Do you believe any of that stuff?
No,
it's probably because why? You know, he would come out at some point.
Exactly.
Be on like Big Brother House or something. You know, he went.
And, one of our stars, Elvis. There he is.
So Can't Help Falling in Love. And this is one of those classics, 1961. His ultimate slow dance ballad written for the Kings, 1961 film Blue Hawaii, which was, even that song's great. The whole movie is basically just a bunch of women fighting over Elvis. Well, that was his whole life, right? You know,
that's all they did when you were Elvis. Well, you're a magnet. They just couldn't stay away.
Yeah. It was his surfer happy character, which probably wouldn't fly today. And the song
as opposed to the unhappy surfer character.
No, I think he's typically happy. But, you know, sometimes he was, wasn't he like a truck driver in one? He wasn't always in an island setting.
That's right.
The song went on to become a staple of the Presley sets, often as the finale, including the film Elvis in Concert and his final stage performance in Indianapolis. But think about that. I mean, here's the thing. We've talked with, you know, with some of the listeners, and we'll talk to a number before the end of the program. You can certainly share your stories as well, you know, but these, it seems like, you know, they find the certain someone, they go out there, they get it, they make those moves, and, you know, then the rest is history. You know, either you're with them for years at a time, you're married, you've got, you know, whatever it is. When you're someone like Elvis, you know, or Frank Sinatra, you know, or any of those, you know, where your whole life is based around people screaming and or Justin Bieber, you know, for our younger. How do you choose? How do you know? You know, is something going to come out, you know, and one person is like a shining light around them, an aura or something like that? Are you going to run into them in a certain situation? Maybe you're going to, you know, be in the hospital and they'll come say, maybe it's your nurse, you know, or something like that. How do you know it's the right one, Dino?
You just get a feeling. I mean, you know, when you're, after you start, you know, talking with them, you get a feel for what they're about.
No, I mean, I'm thinking, if you're Elvis,
well, like, if you're the king,
is it, or do you find yourself unable to limit yourself to just one person, and then you feel that you could probably explain to that person, like, hey, I'm Elvis, I can't
be with just one person.
I need a bunch of people dancing behind me, you know, in the song of my life. So Dan, when you think of someone like Elvis, and of course you remember him as, you know, iconic singer, lives in Memphis, Graceland, all that kind of stuff, and you think about how difficult it would be for him to kind of find and limit himself to, you know, that one certain special someone, it could get cloudy with all those people.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you just, I think it goes to a lot of, you got to meet the right person. I mean, there is...
We have Priscilla.
Priscilla,
if you
right.
look back on history, though, he was, as far as...
young.
Yeah.
She was very young.
She was not 11, Dino. She was, I think, maybe 14 or something like that.
She was
right?
In her teens, yeah.
It was not legal even in France or Germany or wherever they met. He was in the military. He seemed to have a connection with her. That seemed slightly unnatural, but
right. Kenna, 2 points to you. Like, I remember Rick Riley used to write a column for the Sports Illustrated, and he had written kind of like a commencement speech to the graduating seniors for, you know, that year, you know, the college seniors. And one of the things he said in there is, marry somebody who's never heard of you, you know? So, because, like, you don't want hangers-on. You don't want to have women who are specifically going out for athletes, like, trying to, you know, kind of, I'm marrying you because you are who you are. Find somebody who has no idea who you are and still loves you. So I always thought that was a really interesting way to look at, you know, love, especially if you are a celebrity. Yeah, and then there was also that really great Paul Newman quote about his wife, and they would ask him, like, well, you know, you know, do you ever get tempted while you're on the road? You're around beautiful movie
stars. See, that's a great question. Now, Paul Newman, and you talk about this, Dan, but that is a great example of, and you, so many times the tabloids, we see a lot of these relationships just are untenable. And for the Hollywood types, it probably is because I think it takes a certain personality to be, you know, a famous actor, you know, and then I think that there's just so much like outside noise. It's probably tough to have a relationship.
Right, right. And, you know, and kind of tying with the athletes again, you know, you're on the road a lot. You're surrounded by a small group of people. It's usually pretty intense emotional situations, you know, like it's the end. And I mean, I could understand the circumstances that could lead to that type of thing because of those factors. Now, is it right? No, but like I can empathize considering the circumstances. But like the quote always attributed to Paul Newman was, "Why fool around with hamburger when you have steak at home?"
Aww.
You know? And so like I always thought that was just kind of like obviously you hear things and it's like, all right, well, is that true or is that just a really good line? And, you know, was he indeed faithful? And you hope he was. But like, if he was, I think that's a great way to sum it up. That's just like, if you're satisfied with the person you are and they are heavy at home, you know, you just all that other stuff kind of fades away, you know, or it doesn't have the same allure that, you know, you did if it's not the right fit.
Yeah, Paul Newman is one of those guys that is, you know, from a certainly, you know, acclaimed as an actor, one of the greatest actors. Actually, like he would have been a great race car driver too. You know, I'm not sure if you knew that, but
he had his racing team. I know that.
Oh yeah, sure. And he was involved with racing. Got a chance to talk to him a little bit near the end of his career / life. You know, but he had one of the biggest stars in Hollywood, and he was just famous. It was their relationship was very, very famous. He was one of the guys that wasn't really caught up in kind of the trappings of celebrity. You know, it was kind of just something that happened through the process of him doing what he did on the work side. But yeah, that was one of those great relationships for both of them. And I think to this day, people kind of look at that as one of those examples. 312-981-7200. And Dan, maybe you'll look up some of those kind of, you know, famous Hollywood relationships that have stuck together because, they haven't, you know, typically worked out, or at least the ones that you hear about. Yeah, you know,
and the ones that have worked out have not been without their bumps and their ups and downs in those relationships as well. So yeah, it just happens that way.
Valentine's Day is big business. When we come back from the news, we'll definitely talk about it a little bit. But Valentine's Day has been around for a long time. It's not one of those manufactured. I'm kind of jaded and cynical when you get those holidays that are sort of made up by the fine folks at Hallmark. You
know, Hallmark holiday. Yeah.
There's a big the board meeting. They're like,
sweetest day.
Like we need to up revenue. Like, let's come up with a brand new day. Like, sweetest day, that just came out of nowhere one year, right? It was, you know, it's the kind of thing where, hey, did you get me a sweetest day card? I'm like, I don't even know what it is. You know, when did sweetest day come about? Do you know?
It's been a while. It's been around for quite a while, and it is. It's one of those Hallmark holidays, and
yeah. Where they just created it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's good when you have a day to recognize a vocation, which, you know, the national or whatever kind of day they have. Like, it's, you know, Secretary's Day, or it's Bring Your Kid to Work Day, or it's
Grandparents' Day,
right? Although, because those grandparents also fit into some of those other, you know, fathers, you know, they kind of fit into some of those others. So they have their own. Everyone's got a birthday. Mm-hmm. You know, typically, unless you're like a test tube clone.
Late night radio talk show host day.
Wow, that sounds, yeah. You know, with those Hallmark people. They could
come up with that.
They
sure.
could get that together. Dan, are you familiar with when Sweetest Day existed?
I am not, but a quick story before the news. I literally, no lie, thought it was Swedish Day for the first time I heard it. I was with some friends in high school, and we were hanging out, and they mentioned Sweetest Day, and I was just like, why?
Yeah, they have
why,
that in Geneva every year.
Right. Oh, yeah, I mean,
like Stoughton, Wisconsin has a big Swedish Day.
Where do we go to celebrate Swedish Day? Is there a Swedish Day parade? What is this?
They throw fish off the Swedish fish
right.
off the float?
What is it, Lutska?
Look at you. That's pretty good.
Well, that, I only know that because of Orion. Orion would always joke. He's Scandinavian, I believe, and he said Lutska every once in a while. But I remember I told Eileen that pretty early in our relationship as a joke, and so for Sweetest Day, she bought me Swedish fish.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
It's appealing to the sweet tooth.
Yeah, you never go wrong with that.
For the sweet thing, but for Swedish Day, I think I remember a friend from school in Stoughton, Wisconsin, they have
Hello.
A big... Right, Larry King. Hello. They have a big Swedish. I mean, where it is like a big deal. It kind of takes up the whole, you know, like in Harvard, don't they have like Milk Day? You know, the big, you know, they just have something that's indigenous to where the town kind of takes something and kind of runs with it.
Yeah.
And I guess the population, they've got a lot of, you know, up in Wisconsin, got a lot of Swedish people of Swedish descent, and they do a Swedish day. They have a big parade. I think I want to say wooden shoes. I know that's not it. You know, obviously that's that's like sort of the Netherlands Dutch thing, but they do a lot of stuff that has to do with kind of the Swedish stuff. Yeah. And you know what they do? You know, they love it, right?
The epicenter of Swedish holiday there, right there in Stoughton, Wisconsin.
If anybody from Stoughton is together and has a great love story, you can go ahead and share it with us. 312-981-7200. You can share your first, the story of how you met your certain and significant other. And even if you're together to this day, or maybe, let's say it didn't work out and you're looking to reconcile, you can do that here on the Love Line. It is Valentine's Day on WGN. Oh, that's right, baby. 720.
Thank you very much, man.
720 WGN. It is Valentine's Day. Dane in for Nick D until 5 a.m. The ever romantic Dino Tiberi to my right, Dancer Groove, in the booth. And Esmeralda is here with us. Of course, here, of course, during the news and oftentimes with John Hansen, who's a tremendously romantic person as well. And Esmeralda, you are. We know that. So for you personally, and your significant other, talk about kind of your first meeting, how it all started.
Oh, well, I met my boyfriend, as we call him, V, on Nick's show. I forget. Oh, it was because Brian Noonan decided to say he was a lizard person, so now he's V. I don't know. It's, yeah, it's weird. Anyway, but V, we met about 2 years ago at a comedy show. We had a mutual friend on the show performing, and we didn't know each other at all. He randomly came up to me and started talking to me. I had said maybe something out loud just to myself, and then he kind of responded, and then we just started talking back and forth. And like he always says, he's like, and she's still talking to me, and I don't know why.
Oh. Now, was it the kind of thing that if it didn't happen that exact moment and in that circumstances, that you think you would ever run into that? Because that's always kind of scary when you find someone that's really great, and then you kind of look back and say, hey, if not for this thing or that thing, it never would have happened.
Right. I would say we probably wouldn't, because at the time he was living in the suburbs, and he very rarely at that point was coming into the city. And then oddly enough, on Facebook, we have probably over 100 friends in common.
Wow.
But a lot of them are just acquaintances, because he was very much into the comedy scene, and I know a lot of people from the comedy scene as well.
Right, right.
So it's just people that we know peripherally, and then I don't know if it would have happened that we would have met each other otherwise.
And do you have like a certain song, because we're going through some of the songs here? You just heard Elvis, of course. He's eternally romantic, even though he is eternal at this point. But do you guys have like a song that you guys like share, is like, hey, that's our song?
You don't have to. I don't think so, thinking about it.
There's no pressure here either.
And oddly enough, we don't have a song.
Well, maybe that's something to work on in 2018.
Right, I'll have to throw some suggestions at him.
And last thing, you know, he's sleeping now, so this is, you know, nobody's listening to this. But for Valentine's Day, do you feel, here's the kind of thing too, when a relationship is relatively new, you know, after like I'm like 12 years of marriage, I don't feel pressure, you know, to do mm-hmm. anything. I think we've established, you know, the love, right? It's there. It's known. It's a known quantity. But for you guys in a relationship that's relatively new, do you feel pressure to do anything on Valentine's Day? Or do you feel like V's got to come through here?
No. Honestly, I could care less. I'm not a big Valentine's Day person. We're both very much like, it's a Hallmark holiday, whatever.
Yeah.
And we actually, he actually used to work. He works in the service industry, so he's working a double today.
Oh boy.
So, and I won't see him, because I when I get home, like he'll just be leaving, and then I will be here at work when he gets back, so I won't see him today. But we did have like a little impromptu dinner yesterday evening. We had a little bit of a home cooked meal and stuff like that. But funny enough, our last two Valentine's Days last year, we went on vacation. like Valentine's Day was our first day of vacation. We went to Mexico.
Wow.
So, cool. And we didn't really even plan it that way. We realized, I'm like, oh, it's Valentine's Day. Well, this is kind of, oh, this works out.
Let's get out of town.
Yeah,
why not?
This is our Valentine's Day trip.
Now, Esmeralda, of course, you know, you're romantic and you're a straight shooter and everyone believes you, but normally guys are told when the lady says, oh, you don't need to do anything. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's a trap.
It's a trap.
Well, I wouldn't say not to do anything at all. I think the thing is when someone goes, oh, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything crazy and elaborate. But it's nice to be recognized in a way. Just something cute. Like, I got you this flower. Or, you know, I went and bought you some, like, pastry or something because I know you love this. Or just like a little thing.
Or some expensive jewelry.
Or, yeah, you know. Oh, I was walking by the jewelry store and I saw this.
2 plane tickets to Mexico. Yeah, all right, come on.
But honest, I mean, I believe people when they say, oh, you don't need to get me anything. But I think it's a thing of like, don't go insane. But just, if you do have a little something, that would be nice.
Yeah, if you're just slightly deranged, it's okay.
Well, the recognition's really what it's all about, right?
Yeah, exactly.
There you go.
All right. Nice. Well, thanks, Esmeralda. See, that's it. So Esmeralda, she shares that, and I think that's important, right? You know, but, you know, part of me is like, oh, yeah, Esmeralda, and I know she means it, but for me personally, you know, it's a trap, right?
You get those words, and you're like, you better come through with something, because if you come to the table
I don't need anything.
And you take it for what it was actually said, you're going to be in a lot of trouble.
And if you're certain special someone, here's the thing, too, because they could even be, like, completely okay with it, right? But then, you know, you get into sort of an office or workplace dynamic, and then somebody shows up with some big flowers, and then it's like, hey, whatever. Ding, 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 you know, and then it's like, okay. You know,
I've got these dandelions over here from Dane.
And I don't think that, and it's the but you said, and that's as far as you get, never really works. You're like,
that's one of those implied things in a relationship that when you hear that, you know, you've got to come through with something. You can't take that for what it's worth.
Yeah. And we never know how it's all going to work. You know, love is a mysterious thing. Esmeralda and V, you never know how it's, you know, if they're going to be on this list someday of the longest celebrity marriages, but let's go into some of them. So Will Smith and Jada Pinkett Smith since 1997. And Will Smith, he does some of those videos on Facebook, you know, kind of inspirational, motivational. He's someone I've always kind of liked. I think they have a pretty great relationship. You know, we've heard some stories. It's been, you know, they've had some rocky, rough times, but
I'm sure there's some counseling involved. And
what? Okay, yeah. You never know, right? But in the end, they decided for the good of everybody, and that they're better together, even with all the temptations of celebrity, and that they've decided to work through everything, stick it together, all that kind of stuff. That's what you said, right? It says counseling right on here. Okay, well, there's the magic of that. Then Hugh Jackman and Deborah Lee Furness, and they've been together since 1996. And Hugh Jackman, you know him as
in the X-Men.
Yeah, what is he? He's like
Wolverine.
Wolverine. I couldn't remember. I was thinking like Honey Badger. No, I don't know. I know he's a formidable, but you know, small and mighty creature. You know, known for the Midwest, everything it does there. The Australian actors got married in '96, have 2 children together. So, what does the actor have to say about being married for more than 20 years? He says, "Quote." I'm kind of a really grateful guy that I met her before anything kind of happened, he told Ellen DeGeneres. Everything that happens in my career is on screen, off screen. We've always done it together. And I think that's where what Dan had mentioned, too, is that one of the things that kind of stuck with him is, you know, some of these relationships where they knew you before you became Wolverine. Because you know, otherwise you've got like crazy comic book ladies, right, at Comic-Con coming up and saying, like, you know, you're Wolverine. They just love you for the costume or maybe the long knife-like knuckles,
your
right?
Celebrity status.
Yeah, and they don't really get you. I think that would be hard, you know, once you get to a point where people, your posse, your entourage, if you will, and then you wonder, like, hey, does everybody... You know, because you see that all the time, Dino, right? Like famous people, they've still got friends that they, you know, knew as kids that they are close to, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, you do see that a lot. And, you know, it's just sometimes, you know, when you're famous and, you know, those people keep you grounded. They keep you, you know, they keep you in check. When you get too big for your britches, the people that have known you since they were little kids will set you straight.
Yeah, I say your parents just tell you to take the garbage out, or your wife tells you to do that, and then you realize that even though you're in a blockbuster movie and you're, you know, known as Wolverine,
you still have to do what your parents tell you.
You got to do. It is big business, not for everybody. For those people that say, "Oh, you don't have to get me anything," that that's one thing. But for, you know, 180 million people, it's different. You know, it's a big business. We're going to talk about it. Valentine's Day, what you get. And then also on the advice side, we're going to share some great ways, unique and last minute. You know, it was just, I like to describe a lot of the things that I do, unique and last minute, and some cool things you can do to make your Valentine special, even if you're just thinking of it right now as we're saying it. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. It's Dane in for Nick here on 720 WGN. See, this is like a duet, 720 WGN. It's Dane in for Nick D here until 5 a.m. I do have Dino Tiberi, the always romantic, and you are wearing red. Of course, it is the Blackhawks red, so you're able to cloak your kind of romantic persona into sports fan persona.
Yep, and it's all wrapped up in a one tight little package.
Yeah, and so I think some of the Blackhawks, and they've had just a rough go of it, right? This has not been their year.
Yeah, they're having all kinds of problems, losing again tonight to the Knights. Although the expansion team, Las Vegas Knights, very good this year. They're surprisingly at the top of the conference in the Western Conference right now, and the Blackhawks are struggling. So hopefully they can get on the right track.
It's not your typical season for them, but maybe it'll bring some people together. You know, you get together anytime things are tough. You can kind of get together,
fight through it,
and just appreciate the other people around you. And of course, the "Ain't No Mountain High Enough." That was a great duet where you had two people singing together. That's "Islands in the Stream." You remember that one, right? That comes to mind. And
"Islands in the Stream" with Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers.
That was like a. I wonder if there was. Here's the thing: you always hear about the celebrity couples, and we're going to go through some of the successful relationships in Hollywood. A couple more of them in just a minute. But you hear those stories of people in relationships, then they get together, they make a movie, maybe there's romance built into the script or the soundtrack or whatever, and then there's like a love connection there. It's almost dangerous, right? If let's say your, you know, husband or wife was a movie star and off to make a movie with a eligible co-star or whatever, you'd almost want to be on site to
make sure the chemistry doesn't go off the set as well as on it.
I can say something. I'm not going to do it, though.
All right. Good.
Yeah, so Michael J. Fox and then Tracy Pollan since 1988. Of course, Michael J. Fox, you remember, Back to the Future and Family Ties, all that kind of stuff. They were co-stars on Family Ties, been married since 88 and have four children together. And so what is the secret to the long-lasting marriage? And it's, quote, giving each other the benefit of the doubt. Tracy Pollan said, according to People, so many times when you have arguments, things come up, it really doesn't have anything to do with what he did or I did or we said. It's just how I'm projecting that onto myself. So it's good that Tracy's taking responsibility for all of the problems in the relationship. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. Julia Louis-Dreyfus and Brad Hall, they've been around for comedy writers for a long time. I think he was a writer on SNL for a while, right? The Veep actress, been married to the comedian for three decades now. They have two children. They met on an improv class while attending Northwestern University. That's right here, folks. So this could be kind of ground zero for important and
their
significant
son,
love.
Their son is currently on the Northwestern basketball team as well.
Okay, I knew she was there. I knew she was an alum. I didn't know that that was the reason. That explains her attendance
exactly
a little better than at how good they were doing that that year. Seems like a long time ago right now, unfortunately. But you know, they're going to come back, get on a run. You know that.
Yep.
They also went on Saturday Night Live together before walking down the aisle. That's great. Mark Harmon and Pam Dauber? Really?
Pam Dauber from Mark Mindy. And Mindy. Yeah.
Wow, look at that. I had no idea. So Mark Harmon, you know him from NCIS, and he's made some kind of okay movies, right? And
he
was a UCLA foot from the sports side of things.
He's a quarterback.
He's a good athlete. The NCIS star has been married to the Mork and Mindy actress since 1987. They have two children. Pam Dauber actually thinks their marriage has lasted because she gave up acting. I don't think two people can work all the time in show business and stay married, and that certainly has been the case for a lot of people. She told ET, not the little guy, right? You know, but I always knew Dino that he understood more than what he let on, right?
Well,
when they were trying to, you know, a young Drew Barrymore trying to explain him, keep him, was it Reese's Pieces he was eating? You knew he knew what was going on. Anyway, you could say phone home, but he knew everything. I did everything you can do in this business, and then I had children. It's like, I'm not going to chase this fame thing. She was big. Man, Mork and Mindy was a big show, right, Dino?
It was.
Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, are they still together?
Yeah.
I heard.
Wait, Dan, did you hear something where maybe they're not now?
Dan, have you heard Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn? I heard somewhere, but of course it's internet
stuff. Where'd you read it from?
Could be the Russians. Fake news.
I think
they're still together, right?
I believe they are.
Okay, what a long time.
They actually got engaged. So I think there was another celebrity couple in that same vein who had been together for decades that recently broke up. I can't think of whom, but yeah, it looks like Goldie and Kurt are still going strong.
Nice. Good to see. And they, you know, one of the longtime Hollywood power couple since 1983, Kurt Russell, Goldie Hawn. They're not legally married, and why bother? You know, you don't need the trappings of the legality of it. You can, if you're in love, you know it, right? Plus, you're on the lease together. But a couple has been together so long, we couldn't stop ourselves from including them. They have made it 30-year benchmark, still going strong. They have blended family, including one son they had together, who's Wyatt Russell. Yeah, because that's kind of strange, you know, because a lot of them, they keep your name. You've got to. It's a, you know, celebrity thing, right? She can't be Goldie Russell. Who would know who she was?
No one would know.
Dino's like, no one would know. Denzel and Pauletta Washington since 1983. Yeah, Denzel Washington, you know, from one of our great actors, right? And what's your favorite Denzel Washington movie?
Probably... God, there's so many of them.
What's the one, like, Training Day was really
Training
good?
Training Day was good.
He was Malcolm X. He was really great in that. He was...
The football movie that he was in, too. The Titans.
Remember the Titans.
Okay. That's the one. I think that's the one I like the
most. He could do almost anything. And he also showed he can be a successful partner in a relationship. Been married since 83 and have four children together. When asked how they've stayed together for so long, Pauletta answered, "Our faith." She continued, "Nothing is magic. It's just work." The actor chimed in, "I got a good woman. That's the first thing. You just keep working at it." See, that's the thing too, man. Dina, you had mentioned oftentimes, I brought up crazy things like, you know, maybe a hospital visit or a grocery store aisle. But you'd said in church, a lot of times people meet in church.
Well, that's a place, the common place to meet. I mean, you know, you're all there together, and maybe someone that's, you know, got you involved in the church, and they know somebody else, and the rest is history. So
Johnny Cash and June Carter Cash. And here's the thing. Some of these relationships, like the Paul Newman one, seemed like it was signified by stability. Johnny Cash, if you've seen the movies.
Not so much.
Yeah. He's, you know, living a life of crazy excess, singer-songwriter. But still, they were together, right? So as many things that were wrong, that was right. Married to June Carter Cash, 17 years, and the couple had one child together. Sadly, she died in 2003, but not before Johnny Cash wrote a love letter to her on his on her 65th birthday. So that's, I guess, that's not really that long, you know, 17 years compared to some of these other ones. But maybe, I guess, in that whole kind of hurricane of insanity and chaos, right? And,
yeah.
And drugs and alcohol, all that kind of stuff. But still, a very creative guy, Johnny Cash. And he wore black all the time, right, Dino?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did. George Burns and Gracie Allen, 1926 to 1964. He lived a lot longer than that, right? She passed away.
He was over 100 years old.
Yeah, that doesn't happen to everybody. Married couple had a very successful vaudeville act and eventually did radio together, made it to television. They were married until Gracie Allen died, and George Burns, he never remarried. You know what? He also really enjoyed cigars.
Yeah. All the time you would see him holding on to one of those.
Yeah, that's what he would do. Let's see if there's one other one. Oh, here, look at this. Jerry Stiller and Ann. Now, these guys. So, Jerry Stiller, Ann Mara, 1954 to 2015. She passed away. Of course, Ben Stiller, that's their son. And he's so great. Jerry Stiller, of course, you know him, right? He was on,
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld
was
for
on
so
the
many
King
years.
Of Queens. He's been on a couple different shows. And they were a comedy team, Stiller and Mara, for a long time.
Yeah, those guys were huge. He's
fantastic.
He's
a very
great.
Talented family.
Zoolander.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Ben Stiller is very funny as well. I don't have any kind of evidence that he's in a committed or successful relationship as well. From the 708. Now, here's the other thing, too, and we've added a couple of them, and we've got some people lined up for that. 312-981-7200. If you want to describe and share and give a shout-out for your significant other, how you guys met, and it could happen in a bunch of different ways, either at church, as Dino had suggested, if it's at a grocery store, if it's at, you know, a golf outing, if it's at a rock concert, the place that you worked, any of those kind of things, you know, whether it's just one of those chance meeting once in a lifetime, or you grew up as kids together, you can go ahead and share that with us. There have been some great stories, and of course you can give a shout out to your significant other. 312-981-7200 from the 708. We're also doing some of the great love songs of all time. Islands in the Stream is one of my personal favorites, right? This is that combination. Whenever you can get two, like a Peaches and Herb, two talented singers singing together, kind of
reunited,
sharing.
And it feels so good.
When you've got the love like right there into a song. So you've got a love song, right? And then you've got love like singing the song. I mean, that's magic. That's magic right there. So the 708, the song She Drives Me Crazy by the Fine Young Cannibals. She was driving a 1988 convertible Mustang and pulled up close to me, and she was behind the wheel 30 years later and still going. Thanks for bringing up the memory from the 708. Now, She Drives Me Crazy, that could be taken a bunch of different ways.
Yeah. I mean, but I think in the context of that song was just one of those things where...
In a good way.
It was a good way.
She's driving me crazy in a good way. Not like, oh my gosh, you're driving me crazy.
Yep.
That's what you get to a little bit later on down the road. As someone who knows. 720. WGN, it is Dane in for Nick D until 5 a.m. Dino is in studio. Dan Segru in the booth. And, of course, our great news team as well. You hear that, Whitney Houston, and I Will Always Love You. Part of me thinks of The Bodyguard, right? Great movie. There's a great song in the movie. Part of me thinks of her and Bobby Brown doing those interviews, those kind of, revealing interviews into their relationship, but a little bit of the chaos,
Yeah, so. And they had a reality show there for a while, too.
Crack is whack. I remember that. Yeah. Well, you can get together in whatever kind of fun ways that you spend your time. And but here, I wanted to ask you, Vic Vaughn is always doing the forecast, but now it is Valentine's Day, so the forecast for love. And Vic, did you want to, you have a way that you and your significant other met for the first time, and you want to share, how it all started?
Sure. We met in Wisconsin, and that was our first date. But we met online, Match.com.
So, there it is, success once again.
5 years ago, today. Actually, well, no, technically, it was a little more than 5 years ago, but our official, when we kind of officially announced we are in a relationship, was actually on Valentine's Day 5 years ago. So it's going strong. Yeah, she's great. That's amazing.
Awesome. So wait a minute. So now we've talked over the last couple of days trying to get into it. I mean, because, romance and relationships can be a giant ball of mystery. And then you've got, and Dan had mentioned that 7 of the last 10 weddings that he's attended have all been from things like the eHarmony or Match.com. Was it something for our vast listening audience and some of them trying to find that certain special someone? Was it a process, and it obviously worked for you, but did it seem was it easy to do? Did it seem comfortable? Was it how did it go as far as the start of it?
For me, as a man, I found the whole experience, I would say it was a great experience, actually. Now, I've heard from women that use sites like that it's much more challenging. I can't confirm that, but because I'm coming from a different perspective. For me, all of the women that I met through Match.com were legitimate. They were who they said they were. They looked like their photographs. They're, you know what I mean? But some of women that I've spoke to have complained that maybe 2 out of 10 of the men that they meet on the site used current photographs, were actually similar to the way they described themselves. So I think you may have a different, reply from a woman, but I found it. It was a great tool for me to meet someone that I'm in love with today.
Oh, see that? Well, congratulations on all that. You don't want to necessarily have. So if you see somebody with a photograph of Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, or like some sort of bodybuilder. There I am. Yeah. There's me last week.
I don't know if you heard, Nick, but last night I ended up finding out that I was somebody on Bumble's profile pic.
Is that right?
It is. So I don't see how that would help them in any way, but apparently.
That's a hook. You're a celebrity, all of course. Right. Come on.
Well, thanks, Vic. Congratulations, and thanks for sharing.
Thanks, Dave.
Yeah, so there you have it. But I could see that, right? A lot of times, and we're going to get into some of the stats here, but the ladies may be a little bit more sincere in their intentions than maybe the guys, and it seems like maybe a little more kind of honest in what's going, because their intentions are, they want this to work out. So if they throw up a picture of, Chrissy Teigen or something, it's going to be, it's obviously...
The red flag goes up. You don't look like her at all. What happened?
It's just not possible. And for those people wondering about the Bumble profile, it wasn't...
it was you.
It wasn't
don't
me.
Don't deny it. It was you.
Yeah. Well, it was. But I was in a picture with someone else. It was their profile. They just, and we had talked about it, Tina. Yeah. Sometimes even on the lady side, there's just a group of ladies there.
Yeah. And like I said, sometimes you can't pick out who you're even trying to. Who is it? Which one is in the group? Yeah. Make the first picture you.
Right. Well, it's like one of these people. It seems.
It's like,
but not everybody has.
I know.
A photographer to take pictures. Yeah, it's glamour shots.
A lot of those are selfies too.
The feather boa, and it's a little blurry. We've all been there. All right. So Valentine's Day statistics: spending $13.29 billion.
That is way too much money to spend on Valentine's Day. Holy cow!
It's big business. The cards, 180 million cards are exchanged. That's a lot of printing. For those cards can get kind of expensive. You know, you open them up, and if they make any kind of noise, you know, or just play a song, then boom, you're into a whole nother. You're closing in on $10 for a card. Now, I think that qualifies as a gift, or at least part of
it. Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, right. So you think the percentage of Valentine's Day cards bought by women is 85%, and then so that's pretty good. I think the women are giving out cards a lot too. And then the percentage of all flowers purchased by men, 73%. So it's usually I probably have gotten some flowers at some point, but mostly it's the guy that gets the flowers.
Yeah,
right?
That's how it normally goes. I like the next one on the list though. The percent of women who send themselves flowers on Valentine's Day is 14%.
I think it's a safety net, Tina. I think that's a backup because, you know, let's say you don't really, let's say you're the lady. Let's just say, for argument's sake, that Dino is the lady. And then she's, and she.
I don't fit the profile, Dean.
Right. And you're thinking to yourself, well, I already told my significant other that he doesn't, and he's not a flower guy or whatever. But, you know, those ladies in the office, you're going to want to keep up appearances, and maybe you send yourself some, and then you make a big deal about it, right? Because, you know, the flowers can sit there, and then they're there for multiple days, right? You know, they don't just, like, take them home right away, don't they? Leave them at their...
Of course they do. Yeah, they leave them there. I mean, you know, and in the office, I used to see that stuff come down to the front desk a lot on Valentine's Day.
Ooh, this one's tough. Okay, here's this. Percent of women who would end their relationship if they didn't get something for Valentine's Day.
Come on.
53%.
Really?
Well, I mean, these are words on a piece of paper. Do you know if this is...
Get that card, that means their relationship's all over.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Even though...
Get out of it. Yeah, right. Don't get them anything.
And then you have to remind them, hey, did you notice?
Did you notice I didn't get you anything?
No.
All right, it's all over. Thanks for playing.
Esmeralda, I just assumed you would end this. No, Esmeralda had mentioned that sometimes you don't need to do, you know, but I say just as a safety,
Gotta have something.
Just get something.
Just a little something. Even a small thing will do. Just the thought that counts.
Right, exactly. So 18, and here it is. People are saying, like, okay, inspired to do something, got to do something. You don't want to be part of that 53%. So it's 18 unique last-minute Valentine date ideas that your partner will love, guaranteed. Grab your laptop and head to your favorite spot for a DIY outdoor movie screening. Well, it's going to be unseasonably warm. We mentioned that, but I don't know about that.
Sit out in the park when it's 20 degrees outside and watch a movie.
Stretch your budget a whole lot farther by creating your own movie screening. Bonus points for timing the film around sunset. So there's some, hey, you could just have a big picture window. Go ahead. You got one there?
A green screen with a fake background.
I mean, whatever you got to do.
Yeah, whatever you have to do. You're right.
So, Dino, you can do the next one.
Sure. Create your own signature cocktail. A little gin here, a little tonic there. Shake the night up by concocting your own signature cocktail together. Not only will taste testing be a blast, but you and yours might just become skilled mixologists by the end of the night.
Not likely. Not a skilled mixologist, but what you will be is a little probably more open to, you know, the possibilities of love, right? And so I think that's a great one.
Yeah,
I think
maybe the more cocktails involved, the better your chances. But anyway.
You could hit the open road and get lost on purpose. Not everybody, or not maybe both people would be up or open to that. So maybe one person can have, you know, kind of a secret, let's get lost. Hey, do you know where you're going? Yeah, sure. I think I do. And then when you become, you know, outside of all Wi-Fi areas, then you could be like, you know, well,
the unannounced,
sure where we are.
The unannounced trips, it is fun, though, you know, when the other person doesn't know.
Where are we going? I thought we were running to the store. No,
we're going a little further than that.
We're going to Cleveland. All right. So Play tourists in your own neighborhood. Take time to wander the streets. And some of these are not things I would want to do. Take time to wander the streets in your own neighborhood when people didn't shovel the sidewalk, and uncover all the hidden gems that have yet to be discovered. And if you're eager to take your exploration to the next level, create your own local bucket list for the night. I'm not sure if this was written for, like, you know, our area, because it's
This is more
stuff.
Some warmer climates where you could pull this one off.
You live at Disney World. Okay.
Go dessert hopping and end the night with a romantic stroll. You craving an extra sweet date? Skip the fancy dinner. Go right to dessert. The more places you stop by, the sweeter the night will be.
Well, you talk about having a sweet night. I know when we come back from this break, we're going to get into a hotel room. So have one of those things, one of those romantic opportunities. You could do the movie, the mixology, all that kind of stuff at a place like, I'm not going to use a brand name here, but Sybaris or something like that, where they've got a pool suite. It's a hotel, but it's kind of supposed, you know, it's based on the romantic theme. And then I know we've got some statistics on a little bit of that, not specific to any brand place, but just that kind of thing, things to watch out for. Because you want your room to be clean, right? You know?
Oh, absolutely right.
And in that room, there's a thermostat. You want it set to what, 68, 69, 72? What do you do?
Yeah, somewhere in there. 68, 69, 70, whatever, somewhere in that group.
And outside, the thermostat is going to be set at today, weather-wise.
And we're going to go right into that. The forecast from the WGN Chicago Weather Center.
720. WGN, it is the Quiet Storm. One of our producers here, Tom Hush. He's great. He helped out with On the Road, which is our Saturday show. He's Tom Hush is his name. That's his real name, I think. It's not Tom Lightning or something that's an obvious stage name. And so I call him the Quiet Storm.
Quiet Storm.
Yes. Right, you know, and if you knew him, you'd know that, well, I guess he'd appreciate that. So the, anyway, so it is Valentine's Day and we are here, in for Nick until 5 a.m. And we're talking about, you know, all things love. We've had a lot of people share their stories on how they first met. 312-981-7200. You can do that as well as kind of getting into the business of Valentine's Day, what it is, what it means to, like, businesses for sure too. And then some of those, you know, obligations that I don't want to say obligations, but, you know, 53% of people are breaking up with someone because you didn't give them anything on Valentine's Day. It's a serious thing. You got to take into consideration what you're doing. And one of the kind of romantic things, maybe not on your first date, of course, Patrick, who called in first,
went right to it.
He didn't even say hello. He just said hello. Hello, here's a big smooch, you know, and
from my lips to yours. Hello.
Yeah, some of those are, you know, and this is realistic. Right, you know, these things happen. You know, you might find yourself maybe you want to get a getaway, right? You want to go maybe do like one of those kind of Sybaris things, or, you know, or one of those, like, some kind of a romantic getaway to the hotel of your choice. And so we want to, you know, not all hotels are created equal, Dino. You know that, right?
Of course.
Based on, you know, you've got the Motel 6, and then you've got the Four Seasons. They're not exactly the same. And a lot of the accoutrements are similar. Typically, there's a television, there's a bed, there may be even, you know, some shampoo and maybe some conditioner, maybe some lotion of some kind of towel. I'm not sure. But other than that, things can change, including the cleanliness, right? Oh. And so you've got a piece of paper that talks about the dirtiest places in your hotel room. And I think for those people out there looking for, you know, clean hotel rooms, right, to go along with all that love, you know, you're going to want to know this stuff.
Well, you know, when you stay in a hotel room, you usually expect the staff to have it cleaned. But that's not always the case. Even regular cleaning can leave travelers open to other people's germs, according to experts. Boy, oh boy. Researchers found that light switches and TV remotes were among the objects most heavily contaminated with bacteria.
Yeah.
And toilets and bathroom sinks also had high levels of microbial organisms.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Okay, so here's the thing. So you got to figure those are, and some people are like Ro, who's, you know, Ro Khan, obviously, he makes no bones about it. He's kind of a clean freak.
Yeah.
He's kind of a germaphobe.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So you wonder if maybe you go into the hotel, and of course you can assume that the cleaning people have gone in there and kind of done their thing, or maybe you can assume they haven't gotten
there. Maybe they just did the bare minimum and walked out of there and went on to the next room.
You vacuum a little bit, you make the bed, you replace the toilet paper.
It all looks like it's done.
So the black light comes out, right?
Right.
And everything's
purple. Somebody like Dave Savini from Channel 2 shows up.
Right. Well, you wonder what is.
I love David. Those things, whenever he had that on, I would always watch
it. Well, he's there to, crack the case, right?
Absolutely.
Because you wonder, is the cleaning regimen for, and I would hope, maybe we can look up something during the break on the, and I'm only using Sybaris because I'm just familiar with the.
With the inside of the place, are you, Dave?
No, I mean, I've seen the commercials. Right. I have never actually attended a Sybaris function. But
you're a lifetime member. No need to put hide that. Yeah, I mean, like come out in the open, let us all know.
You're like Players Club, right?
Yeah, no. Yeah, thanks, Telly.
Yeah, I don't have that. But I'm wondering. You just wonder if there's like a separate. Yeah, I imagine Hill Street Blues. Let's be careful out there. You've got the meeting beforehand. You send everybody off because, often, let's say you're on the side of the highway, on the expressway, and you've got places that, people are just kind of going to sleep so they can get up. But a place like the Sybaris, it kind of markets itself as a potential
romantic
location for
a getaway for two.
Yeah, when there's a hot tub in your bedroom at the foot of the bed and a, some kind of a hanging basket and some other things, they're just, I think they're suggesting that stuff's going to happen, right?
I think that's the whole premise of it. I don't know. It's unlike any other hotel room, apparently, Dane. I don't know.
I'm not going to say that, Dane, you're probably relatively, normal and not to say that any, visiting a place like that is not. I mean, they're normal and great and awesome, all that kind of stuff. But do you think, number one, have you ever done that? And number two, have you ever thought about maybe there's a whole different kind of tactical cleaning, kind of Navy SEAL situation that they do, or do they just let it ride?
I've not been to that location, so I can't speak for that.
Where is that place, Danny?
Well, there's 14 locations in the Chicago.
And what's that phone number again?
1-800 Dane goes. No, all right.
No, 1-800. The bed is round. No, it's not. Well, it could be. But do you think they have? Some kind, or is it just normal? You go in there, you vacuum, you replace the towels. I think you got to look everywhere. Do they have a black light? Because you never know. Things could be anywhere.
I don't think they have a black light. I'm sure someone might have one.
Or do you just what do you do? You can't just Febreze the place. You got to.
Why not?
You got to get in there and hose it down. Because you want to have it like those guys in the vans, like it never even happened. Right? A fire or a
service.
Flood.
What is that? I don't know which one it's called. One of those service.
Sybaris.
Like it never happened. Somehow it should be the exact opposite. It did happen.
Well, I'm just
and you made a grand mistake.
Yeah, no, that's just a brand name that comes to mind, but I'm sure there's a bunch of those. And they may be marketed under the names like Fantasy Suites,
I have no.
In the effort to keep it fresh. We're going to look this up. I think there are some. I want to say I've not done this, but in part of my mind, I think maybe I have been to one of these. It wasn't necessarily particularly naughty, but it was like a hotel that had like different themed rooms where you could, it's like, you're in, the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Were you in Las Vegas when this was going on?
Right. You've got maybe a King Arthur theme. And I think it would lend itself to the possibility for some, keeping it fresh. I'm doing the air quotes here. Role playing
by setting the room up in a certain fashion.
I mean, if you're there and it's like you're in a castle situation, perhaps you're using the terms "milady," more often than you would.
God,
I don't know. No, but they have. Okay, so we're gonna look. If anyone has been to,
I'm sure the phones will be ringing off the hook on this one.
312-981-7200. Now, here's the thing, too, and you can go under complete anonymity. You do not have to give out your actual name if you've ever been
Jim.
Part of the cleaning detail for one of these places, too, because you wonder. You want people to feel that everything is kind of sanitary, right?
Yeah, I would. It's tough because you go into the thing thinking that everything's on the up and up and it's clean. And
do you think that?
Well,
I don't think like that.
Well, I'd like to think so, but I'm sure there's places that as we've seen in as I mentioned before, that that happens where it's not that way. So,
anytime you touch a light switch, TV remote, microbes from your hands transfer to the new object or person. Items like a hotel phone, keyboard harbor lots of germs. When it comes to the bathroom, most surfaces around the toilet likely are pretty dirty.
Yeah, that's not a news flash there. I mean, that's just
well,
in general.
Yeah, I would think so. But you'd hope they're cleaning some of that stuff. So here's the thing is flushing a toilet can send contaminants flying not only onto the toilet seat, but also onto the floor, back of the toilet, more than 80% of the time in the wall behind the toilet, 40% of the time the flush handle and the toilet paper dispenser. Many times as well. Sinks are prime locations for germs as the crevices around a faucet, difficult to clean. And so I think you just
bring some rubber gloves with you when you go into these hotel rooms. You'll be just fine. And some disinfectant.
That's right.
That's it.
So you just bring your own stuff.
Bring your own stuff.
I would feel comfortable with
that. Yeah, why not?
Hand sanitizer.
Yeah.
Like a Hurt Locker suit, one of those hazmat. Maybe you build that into
the yellow suit. You can walk it in.
Into your role play.
Mr. Neal, your room is ready.
We're going to do an apocalyptic theme, right? Exactly. End of the world. It's just you and me left, baby. All right. Right now, it is 4 o'clock. When we come back from this, you think about love, and of course, you love each other, and we love all the listeners and everything on Valentine's Day. The love for the Cubs springs eternal, and now the Cubs haven't hurt us. They haven't wronged us yet, right? You know, our hearts are unbroken for 2018 as pitchers and catchers report, and we're going to have Danny Rocket on a little bit after the news to talk about his new song, because we're in love with you, Darvish. Dino, you think you could find a place in your heart for you?
Well, I think so. I think without you, who knows how they're going to do.
All right, we'll work on that. 720 WGN, it is Dane in for Nick D until 5 a.m. today here. Dino Tiberi to my right, Dan Segrew in the booth and on the line with us. You know, when you've made your, kind of your public persona, right, when, you've kind of embodied your support, your affection, affinity for the mighty Cub like Danny Rocket has, and then you become this creative force, right? When something happens, whether it's I don't know if there's many Cub scandals, but if something negative happens, right, that's one thing. Something funny happens, that's another thing. If you sign somebody big, you know that Danny is going to be in there feverishly.
He's the pulse of all things music when it comes to the Cub.
He's the Quincy Jones of the Cubs, the Motown when it comes to Cubs parodies. Danny, welcome to WGN.
Oh, wow. I've never had an introduction that compared me to Quincy Jones before. This is a first, and it was totally worth getting up at 4 a.m. to come talk to you about it, just for that reason alone.
Well, your public is calling for you to come out and do a little of the back channel stuff. People see the posts on Bleed Cubby Blue, and then, of course, they hear the songs, and but they don't always get that whole kind of behind-the-music thing onto the thought process and kind of the nuts and bolts on the creative side. So first off, congratulations to you and all of us, to you. It's hard to get away from that, right? To you and all of us for again, and this is part of the benefits of having a Theo-led front office is that, it's the best free agent acquisition out there and, again, is on the Cubs.
Yeah, I mean, Theo has just worked magic and for the last 4 years, and when the window for the Cubs has been open, and it continues to be open, it looks like it will be open for a couple more years with these young players that we brought up through the farm system, like Chris Bryant and Javi Baez. He's going for it every single year. This is something that we've never seen as Cubs fans before. And it's just great that year after year, they're planning on contending and winning the World Series.
Yeah, it's really refreshing, Danny, to see a team that, as I said to Dane the other day, with an embarrassment of riches when it comes to position players. They have more players than they do positions, which is something that is struggling through many of the years in the past. You barely had enough guys that were average ball players at some of those positions, and now they've got more than enough, it seems like, and maybe something that could be packaged in a trade later on if necessary during the trade deadline. But I must digress. The main thing right now is Yu Darvish is now a Cub.
Yeah, and it's a great deal for the Cubs, too. They got him for 6 years, 126. I guess there's incentives that can make that another $20 million or so. But it's an amazing deal because he was trying to get, $50 million more than that or something like that? I don't know what other teams offered him, but he decided to come to the Cubs, regardless of the money. It's a lot of money, no matter how you cut it, but it's a great deal. Keeps the Cubs, within their payroll targets. And, hey, Theo made the magic happen. And the more this happens, the more great players want to come play for the Cubs, which is just awesome.
Yeah, I mean, you think about it, that's exactly it, is you're able to get, and down the road there'll be times where you'll be able to get players that could get more money in other places, and you're already seeing it, but they'll take a little bit less for the opportunity to win a World Series or to be part of a World Series or an iconic franchise and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to, you know, in the past there were times probably when the Cubs, even with all the history and the ballpark and everything and the fan base, they might have had to overpay because you know the player that wanted to go out there and compete for a championship knew it just wasn't going to happen in Chicago. So I think I'm excited about it. You said the 6 year, you seem like it's a get to, not a have to. A lot of people are saying that 6 year is the kind of thing that, you know, they wouldn't have or shouldn't have, or you wouldn't have seen on a regular basis. I know it's incentive built, but you see it as a plus, right? You get an extra year of him. It's not like you're stuck with him for one more.
Well, we might be stuck with him for the one more, but if you break down the contract, he's making 19 and 18 million in his last 2 years. So they've kind of got it front loaded. He's making the most this year, 25 million, and then it goes down from there. So, it seems like they're staying under the threshold and still kind of, well, they're doing it. They're doing a 6 year contract in the right way.
And they're at
in a way that works.
I didn't mean to interrupt you there, Danny, but they're at, you know, they've got an opt out in there after 2 years, a no trade clause for them, and it might be a situation where, you know, after, I mean, it'd be great if, you know, he does, if the opt out is an issue, because that would mean that he's had two great years leading into that. So, you know, I think it's a win-win for the Cubs all the way around, the way this goes right now. And we'll see how the chips fall everywhere else as far as, some of the other pitchers that are still available. And maybe this breaks up the logjam of all the free agents that are still out there right now.
Yeah, I think it probably should. I mean, pitchers and catchers report today, which is the three most beautiful words in the English language. And, you know, Jake Arrieta doesn't have a team yet. Neither do a lot of guys. And I was really impressed in Darvish's press conference yesterday when he said, listen, I didn't want to be disruptive when by coming in to the team in the middle of spring training. So I wanted to get this done before spring. I think it's important for me to be here and be working with the coaches. Like, he said all the right things of why he wanted to get this done before spring. Jake's not there yet, and he's a man without a team, you know?
Yeah, we wonder how that is going to happen. I know I talked with our sports guys on the beat last week, and you take all those things kind of out of the equation, the money, the years, the breakdown over time and whatever, and you think just this year, would you rather have a Jake Arrieta than a Yu Darvish? And they kind of came down on both sides of it. You know, you've got the youth, and I know that people have said that his stuff is great and that he is a great pitcher, but he hasn't, you know, been able to prove in those pressure situations that he's the kind of guy that's going to lock it in and give you a win there.
Well, I mean, that a lot of people are making a lot of those two World Series games against the Astros with Darvish. And, that's two games. And I don't think you judge a guy in baseball by just two games. He pitched great against the Cubs, unfortunately, in the NLCS. And he pitched great against the Diamondbacks before that. So I think he has been in high-pressure situations. I think he's a competitor. The other thing I'll say, too, is he had the Tommy John surgery in 2015, 16, like a couple years ago. That kind of presses the reset button on your arm a little bit. And after 2 or 3 years, you might be, you know, throwing even harder than you were before you had the Tommy John. These guys are throwing without pain for the first time in a few years. And I don't know. I see a little bit more longevity in a guy like Darvish, even though obviously Arrieta is in such great shape. But, I come down on the Darvish team.
Well, you got to, because really, honestly, that's the only way that you can do it and still be happy with what's going on. So we all hope for the best. You mentioned don't judge him on a couple of games, and you don't want to judge you, Danny Rocket, Bad Teenage Mustache, all the on just a couple songs, right? You're constantly doing it. We're going to get into, after this break, kind of that thought process, the creative side of coming up with these great parodies. When something happens in the Cub world, you know, Danny will write the score for it. He will put that soundtrack to it, and we're going to talk about it and hear the new song after the break. So Danny, hold tight. Right now the weather is unseasonably warm here in the Chicago area. It's going to be very warm in Arizona, at least warmer, I hope. But right now, Dino, the weather. 720 WGN, we are back. It is Dane in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. And on the line with us, Dino is to my right. Dan, of course, is in the booth as well. And on Valentine's Day, you know, nobody loves their team more than Cubs fans. And of the Cub fans, you wonder, what are the ways, and Dino, you know, your thoughts on this too, what are the ways that you can show your love? And one of those ways is to write a song for them, right?
Well, of course.
Like the minstrels, you know, down, you got the lady, or maybe it's, you know.
Put your Cub hat on.
Maybe it's a Bobby Dernier up on the balcony. you're serenading him.
Part of the Daily Double.
When it comes to putting a soundtrack to some great Cub moments, whether it's a World Series victory or the latest free agent acquisition, Bad Teenage Mustache, and Danny Rocket himself has been doing that. And so, Danny, here it is. Does it ever happen where something happens in the Cub world and then you kind of wake up and be like, I don't feel it. You know, I'm just not feeling it. Or anytime something happens, do you get into the studio and start making some music?
Well, I mean, I always try to write something, but I'm just happy Rob Zastrzyzny hasn't done anything, you know, really exciting, because wouldn't be the easiest one to do. But no, I mean, this stuff all kind of comes naturally to me. I've been writing music my whole life, and so I love writing music, and I love the Cubs. It seems like a perfect fit to write songs about them, so I do.
Well, this one right here, so you, Darvish, with all the you in there and the love and all that kind of stuff, you're almost tripping over yourself with the possibilities. Sometimes, you know, there's only one or two really natural song avenues to go down. This one, it's like a, you know, it's an expressway of opportunity. So talk a little bit about the song. I know we're going to play a bit in a second, but talk about the new latest track you got here.
Yeah, well, I got two. I don't know which one you're going to play, but Al Yellen, who's the editor of Bleed Cubby Blue, had suggested to me to do I Got You, Babe, which seemed like a really obvious choice. And when something is so obvious, it means it's pretty perfect. And as long as nobody else has done it, I'll do it. And that one, and I did Oh Baby, You've Got What I Need as
the
well.
Biz Markie special.
Yeah, and once again, a perfect fit, but I host a private Facebook page called the San Ranto Ranchers, and I did ask for suggestions on there, and there must have been 100 at least, and people posting lyrics, and everybody's getting into the act on you, Darvish, because there's just, I mean, there must be 50 songs that you could do that people have actually even heard of.
you can't stop. You picked a couple great ones to start with, and so Dan, which one are we going to hear first? Okay, we're going to hear the the Sonny and Cher one. So stay tuned. This is Danny Rocket with his latest song.
All winter long we didn't know to which baseball team you, Darvish, would go. Now he'll be wearing Cubby Blue, 2018, the Cubbies, they got you. Paid, we got you paid, we got you paid. Our rotation's gonna bring another World Series ring. Use missing bat, strike some out. The Cardinals are scared when you's on the mound. Contract he signed is 6 years long. Had Tommy John, let's hope.
All right. right. Wow. Okay.
That's fantastic.
So Danny Rocket here with We Got You Paid. Now, here's the thing, too, is some of these songs, there's a level of difficulty in there. You had to really kind of belt out and hit the high notes. Plus, you had to, Sonny is one thing, but, the musical icon Cher, right? You had to kind of emulate her a little bit. Was this on the level of difficulty scale a little tougher than most?
Well, luckily, I have a really authentic Cher wig that I like to put on when I'm recording, and it helps me hit the high notes.
Right. We're going to hear Thieves, Tramps, and whatever that song was she used to do, too?
Oh, yeah, no, I'm sure not. You just got to be able to whip it to one side with the tongue out the other and go, woo, or whatever you do. All right, well,
exactly.
With
and then the rest just makes itself from there on in. Just the tongue, the woo, and the hair.
Perfect.
We got to get Ronnie Whoop. Never mind.
No, don't even start that.
So here's the thing. This one has got so many possibilities that you came up with two songs right out of the gate. So let's talk a little bit, describe the thought process around the other one.
Well, that was the first idea I had to do was because, I really always liked that song. It's from like 1989. I think I was a freshman in high school then, and I guess we danced to that at the homecoming dance and stuff. So I was like, you got what I need. Everybody, say he's just a friend and all this stuff. I just thought it was perfect. It had been going through my head for weeks, and, it was already written in my head. But I was just really hoping that Yu Darvish would sign with the Cubs so I could write these songs because I wasn't going to do it unless he did.
Right.
But I did have an idea if he didn't that I would do that CeeLo Green song, which also has the word Yu in it. I can't say the first word of the song.
Yeah, it's not a clean one, that's for sure.
It's not a clean one, but I thought that would be a perfect one if he didn't sign. But all these songs were going through my head for weeks. So as soon as he signed, I had to sit down and write them.
And it fits in, too, because, he hopefully, right, he does have what the Cubs need. So, Dan, go ahead and start that next one.
Darvish took a while to choose, and we had to wait. Now we'll pitch for the Cubs, and he's replacing Jake. Theo Epstein came through with the compensation. Money in Japanese doesn't need translation. Back in 2015, Darvish's arm got hurt. Got Tommy John, really screwed the Rangers. Got traded to the Dodgers, who could forget? Took a bases loaded walk in the NLCS. The Cubs wanted him here, but Darvish had to choose. $126 million, has him wearing Cubby blue. The Cubs got the team, now they got a shot. Darvish slotted into Arrieta's spot. The Cubs have got him for six, hopped out after two. And mountains of rickets throwing a fat contract for you. You likes to strike him out, he's good at eating up innings. When you pitches a baseball, batters miss with a swing. We're coming back with a baseball team that can win again. With you on the Cubs, we'll be world champions. Come on, the Cubbies are going for it. This is what I'm going to sing. You pick the Cubbies. Now the Cubs will win again. The World Series champions. Oh, baby, you pick the Cubbies.
All right. Wow. That's,
fantastic.
Not only here you get the musical side of things, but there's an incredible level and amount of storytelling there, right? You get the whole thing. If you didn't know the backstory.
You got it all in there in about a 60-second span right there.
Yeah, so Danny, give information how people can get in on all those things, hear the latest stuff, the newest things that are undoubtedly going to be coming out as we get into spring training, and then all those hits from the past you can relive in a musical way, Danny Rocket, and all your favorite Cub memories. Give the information out.
Well, you can find everything that I do Cubs-related-wise at sunranto.com. That's like Ron Santa with the R and S switched. Everything's on YouTube under my name. That's Danny Rocket with two T's. I'm on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter. And if you want to join that private Cubs group and you're not, if you don't have your feathers easily ruffled, check out the Sun Ranto Ranters Facebook page. We have fun over there.
Oh, well, thanks so much for what you're doing. We appreciate it. I know the Cub fans all love it, and we're going to be excited to see what's coming next. And thanks for getting up and joining us here on WGN this morning.
Oh, thanks for having me on. I always love talking to you, Dane. And you too, Dino.
Yep, thanks, Danny.
720 WGN. It is Dane in for Nick DiGilio until 5 a.m. today. And I just want to let everybody know that Nick is doing absolutely fine. He's got some issues he's dealing with at home on the home improvement side related to the weather and some snow and some other stuff. And so as he's working through that, we are getting you into Valentine's Day. So happy Valentine's Day to everybody that is listening. Dino Tiberi is to my right. Dan is in the booth, longtime compadre to Nick in so many different ways and helping with all the things that we are doing today. And we've been talking a little bit about love, not only the great love songs. We've shared a lot of the different ways that people have met their certain significant others, important people in their lives. And then there's still a lot of people out there that we've tried to help, you know, and sometimes, you know, when you want to prepare yourself to meet that certain special someone, you're going to want to be the best person that you can be. And sometimes, and we've talked about it, you know, that perfect job. And if you can do something that you love, you're not working and you'll be more successful at it. And so when you've got that perfect job, because you know what goes along with it, you know, once you've got the, you know, your great occupation, you're going to run into somebody that's going to love you for what it is that you do. We've said that's not what people want to do. You know, they should love you for you. But if you can't get that done and you want to be Hugh Jackman, go ahead and do it. 11 tips we've got to ace your next job interview. 312-981-7200. If people have any suggestions as well, if you're one of those employer types or the people doing those interviews, you know, so you always hear, you know, people show up and they're just not dressed for the job interview. Like, let's say, you know, it's, you know, you're going to be like a stockbroker, an attorney in a law firm, and you come in wearing like
sweatpants and a
Blackhawks jersey or something like that. Right. Exactly. So here's the thing. Establish the right mindset beforehand. And this can be difficult for some people, especially if you got a lot on the line, right? You don't want the pressure to get to you. Like, let's say you want, this would be really great for you. You can't go in there, letting that kind of consume you, right? You want to act as though, you know, be comfortable, be you, be the you that you'd be, in the job. So try taking some deep breaths. A good trick for maintaining a sense of calm is visualizing your success and accepting that rejection is a possibility, but not an inevitability. Now, they always say, you know, if you're doing some public speaking, you're supposed to imagine the audience naked, right? Isn't that the thing? So it doesn't, I thought I was going to read that maybe you should imagine the prospective employer naked. It does not say that. It just says take some deep breaths. If you're nervous, as Steve Aries of, quote, the Daily Muse writes, it's important not to assume your interviewer is there to be judgmental and mean. Your hiring manager is not your opponent. Odds are they're hoping to feel wowed. And I think that's important, too, because the reason that there's, you know, that job opportunity is they need somebody to get in there and do that. And so you want to get in there and be confident. Hopefully they're looking to solve a problem, right, by fitting something into that position. Dino, do you have any thoughts on like a job interview situation, like some things that maybe you've seen other people do wrong, or suggestions that you might have?
Not things that I've seen people do wrong, really. I'm just thinking back to my last job interview. It's been so long ago. It's, you know, I was nervous when I went in. My thing was just to try to stay calm, because when I get nervous, and then, you know, I start sweating, and then it's like nerves start getting the better of me. But, you know, that the last
one, right. That's natural.
You just have to try to. I don't know if I'd go visualizing people naked, but I think something of.
I mean, just
something light and just something that's not, you know, so consumed.
So visualizing people in casual attire.
Go to your happy place, like Happy Gilmore used to say. Wherever that is. But, I mean, something just to calm me down and make me relax and think it's, you know, in the grand scheme of things, it's a job interview. It's not life or death. If it doesn't go the way you thought it was, it's not the end of the world. There's going to be other things out there. Even if it's the position that, you know, you've looked to get into.
Even if it's your dream job and you'll be completely crushed emotionally, certainly financially.
And then depression set in and you walk out, you know, like, you know, just all depressed. And
so don't put that much on the line. Just kind of block it out and think of all the good reasons
be
why.
Be yourself, because ultimately that's what's going to get you through it, and that's what's going to show the person that, you know, you're the person for that position.
And you never know, and you don't have to imagine them wearing any certain special someone, but there may be a love connection with that person running that interview. I mean, it's Valentine's Day,
if this job doesn't go well, would you like to go out for a cup of coffee or dinner, perhaps?
There's a Lindsay West Wagner Film Festival going on. Yeah, I'm just kidding. There is. Maybe there is. Who knows?
Meredith Baxter Burney.
Yes. The hiring manager wants to hear more about the experiences that he or she read on paper, and I promise you no one is looking to see how much shaking you can do in those boots of yours. I don't know that I agree with that. Sometimes there's people that are seem to enjoy the fact that it's an uncomfortable situation.
How's this guy under pressure? Is he going to be able to handle it?
That's right.
Or not.
Yeah, because let's say you're going to be
the national... You can't handle this. What happens if something serious happens?
Depending on the job. Let's say you're going to be an emergency manager or the National Security Council leader. Who knows, right? Maybe, you know, that kind of cool under fire is something that they need to test. You never know. Prepare some good questions. Job interviews can be scary. It's good to admit that, right? By the end of the ordeal, you're probably thinking the last thing you want to do is drag on the experience with more questions. However, asking good questions that demonstrate your knowledge and interest in the job is exactly what you have to do in order to demonstrate your interest and engagement. Because here's, I think this is an important thing, because you know they're going to be asking you questions about you, blah, 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 blah. And then, you know, you're going to have answers for that, right? Because that's your stuff. You know, it's on paper. But sometimes, and I know because my wife had gone through, she had done a bunch of different job interviews over the last handful of years, and she would come back, and so they would ask things like, so do you have any questions?
Sure.
You know, and so even if you really don't, or maybe your question is like, okay, are we done, or do I have the job? I mean, those aren't the questions.
No, you do a little research about the company, and maybe you ask, you know, some specific questions about, you know, what it is, or maybe just general questions and say, you know, I mean, you just ask a little bit about, you know, how long is the average tenure in this position, or, you know, anything that might fit that particular job you're looking for.
I don't know. I think that's kind of like the whole, when Esmeralda said, you don't have to get me anything for Valentine's. I think it's a trap because you may have questions and the questions are like, so how many weeks of vacation am I going to get?
How much am I going to get paid?
Like how many, you know, personal days off? Like how soon after I get hired can I take a day off? You know, that may be something that, or how good is the insurance, or
do you have a lot of turnover in this position?
Can you handle any of the pre-existing conditions I may have, you know, or one of those, you may have questions. I don't think those are the ones that you want to ask. I think you want to ask things maybe along the lines of, however, asking good questions, demonstrating your knowledge and interest in the job is exactly what you have to do in order to demonstrate just how interested you are. Because it's often impossible for some people to think up informed questions on the spot, write down some beforehand, rehearse them a bit if it makes you feel more comfortable. It doesn't want to sound rehearsed, though, but maybe say like something like or... Hey, I've heard, I liked yours, Dino. You know, we say like, I've heard, you know, people that really enjoy working here and they usually stay for a long time. How, you know, what is the average kind of tenure here? You know, people get a job, they usually stay, you know, 10, 15 years. I think that's something nice. It's not, it allows them to sort of brag about some of the good things.
Our staff's been on, the main core of our staff's been on for X amount of years. And, you know, we have, you know, there's attrition, you know, here and there.
Yeah. I mean, I think you give them an opportunity to kind of share some more positive things about the workplace, but also showing you're a little bit informed. So break the ice with some good conversation starters. Now, does that mean like a joke? You know, because you never know what people think is funny, or maybe they will be offended. You don't want to do that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Okay, conversation starters. Still, job interviewers often present a somewhat intimidating conversational environment. So finding the right conversation starter can be pretty tricky. It can be hard to make a perfect first impression when you're super nervous to begin with. You know, so like you said, if you're beginning to sweat, maybe shake a little bit.
If your focus is on you, your nervousness, as opposed to the actual interview and what you're doing.
I don't even know what would be a good conversation. I guess the weather, right? Dan, what do you think? Good conversation starter if like someone,
maybe
a potential intern is sitting in with you. What do they do?
Right, or maybe like when you walk in, you know, just do a quick glance at the room, and if you see like a bowling trophy.
Bowling 300s in your career?
Right, or something like that. Or you see them like with a picture of them with the fish, you know, like, oh, what lake is that? You know, what is that memory? You know, I mean, you get some talking a little bit, obviously, you get a little connection.
Probably, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Dan, you can't go in there and ask about the Sybaris. That won't get you very far.
that lake reminds me of the cool blue waters of my sauna suite. And then you mentioned how you're dedicated to cleanliness and you always carry around the hand sanitizer.
That's right. And the blue and the black light.
I like it, Dan, though. The whole idea of, but this is a little bit of, that's kind of some heavy lifting, maybe. You got all the whole thing trying to do the interview thing, and then you've got to somehow pick things in the room and then sort of make a conversation. Maybe, but I don't know if you just want to go compliment either. You know, hey, those are some nice shoes. You know, they look comfortable. You know, maybe you could do that. Because let's say it's in a completely stark room. It's like a separate conference room, right? It's not, you know, where there's pictures of kids, you know, or pets or whatever, you know, on the wall. I mean, maybe you don't have like the picture of the lake to go with. So we don't want to give them, you know, kind of all that information. Maybe weather, I think, would be good, right? Hey, sure is hot out there today. And then he goes, I can tell, Dino, because you're so sweaty.
Yeah, you're...
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not. Anyway, so Rachel Gillette, she previously reported for Business Insider, that the key is making the job interview feel like they have your undivided attention. Good conversation starters include asking about a person's weekend or referencing a post you like from their organization's blog or social media platforms. This could be a double-edged sword, though, too. You know, it could be one of those things. But I think the weather is always a good thing to start with, and you want to be informed. And, Dino, you've got some information to keep people up to speed.
Here's the forecast.
A text in from the 815. I've been in manufacturing for many years, and I always go to the employees before or after the interview and ask them what kind of place it is to work. And you wonder, that's kind of risky, right? Because who would say something? You wouldn't want to be on the record because you don't want to be in the interview and say, like,
Sharon told me that this place was horrible.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully you're not sitting through the interview if you really think that.
Right.
Here's one, and we've only got a couple minutes left, but we did want to share some of these. Pretend as if you're about to start work tomorrow. You know, you want to be as available as possible. Some, you know, they're obviously, you know, they've got interviews, and sometimes that process can take a little bit of time. But let the extensions, I think, would be, let that be on them. Like, you should be like, I'm ready to go. You know, that would be one of the things. It says, want to nail a job interview? Pretend that you already have the job. And start clearing off other people's desks. No, I'm just kidding. I added that. That's not what
Bob,
it says.
It's all over. Let me take over.
Who's over here? Get them out of there. Matt Canis, the CEO of online vintage style clothing retailer ModCloth, previously told Business Insider about one job candidate who wowed him in an interview. Now, the applicant arrived with a brief that sketched out a detailed suggestions on improving ModCloth's app, right? So you're already kind of doing the work, like, here's what I see we should be doing around here. You know, I think that sounds a little presumptuous, right? Like, you're in charge. First off, you.
Okay, Mr. Smarty Pants. We'll see how that works when you don't get the job.
You need to do something else. And it's a bit of extra effort, but you put some research in, could put that far ahead of the competition. This person saw ModCloth as a platform for them to do their best work and bring their craft to the table in a way that was additive, Kana said. I loved seeing the initiative. I think it's a double-edged sword. I think you got to surf you got to see whether, because sometimes it could be where you're already implying that you have the job. People may see, like, hey, wait a minute, buddy.
Yeah, confidence is one thing, but being silly is another.
But be available and have it be like you're ready to go ahead and do the job. We had one of our cousins who had multiple job interviews lined up, and they actually offered her the job. And she'd be the first one to say that this probably turned out to be a bad idea. They offered her the job, and she said, can I wait? I've got another job interview coming up on Tuesday. Can I let you know a little bit later? And they said, well, you just go enjoy that job interview on Tuesday.
Yeah, this offer's been rescinded.
Yeah, yeah. Well, get out there and have a great day. I want to thank everybody who listened to the program. Thanks, Dino. Thanks, Dan. Thanks to everybody who participated. Enjoy a great Valentine's Day.